Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. Scientists say there are about 2,000 species of sea stars, also known as starfish. But scientists don't like the term starfish, well, because the sea star isn't a fish. One species, known as the sunflower sea star, was listed as critically endangered by the International Union for Conservation of Nature. Nearly 6 billion sunflower stars have died recently due to a disease. In Northern California, the disease killed more than 99% of the creatures, according to a study published in 2021. Sunflower stars are now one of the most endangered sea stars. A few are now being raised in a lab by my next guests. Dr. Rafael Cuevas Uribe is a scientist at Cal Poly Humboldt. He's leading an effort to save the sunflower sea star species. Also joining the conversation is Dr. David Sen, a lecturer in the Department of Wildlife at Cal Poly Humboldt. Welcome to the exchange, gentlemen.
Thank you for having us.
Likewise, thank you.
So, Rafael, let's start with the fact that a sea star isn't a fish. So, what is it?
Well, it's an echinoderm. So, echinoderms, we have other species such as sea cucumbers and sea urchins. So it's part of the echinoderms.
What is an echinoderm?
Echinoderms, they have spiny skins, and also they have the symmetry is different than fish. So they, and I think David Sink could help me answer this question too.
So David, that's your cue. What's an echinoderm?
Thank you. It's an invertebrate marine animal, and echinoderm is a phylum. As Rafael mentioned, we've got sea urchins, sea cucumbers, starfish, basket stars, sea lilies. They have something called radial symmetry. You can imagine, like a human being, if you're looking in the mirror, we have bilateral symmetry. So the left is roughly the same as our right. It's not true in echinoderm. They work off of, imagine a wheel that's called radial symmetry. So their development is quite different. Their way of life, of course, is a lot different. There's no visual system. They have hundreds to thousands of 2 feet. And so they're crawling around on the ocean floor and feeling for prey and for conspecifics, using coelomic fluid instead of blood. And so this is a muscular system that moves the fluid in the body as they're moving around. So most people probably know what the basic starfish looks like, but the diversity on these guys is quite remarkable. And it's just a very different way of life that's been around for hundreds of millions of years.
Well, the common starfish we see on a beach has 5 arms, right? But
correct.
These things can grow a lot more.
Yeah, sunflower stars have up to 24 arms. And interestingly, we don't really know why.
Hmm. So, Rafael, why is the sunflower sea star worth saving? Who cares?
Well, this is a keystone species. So, meaning that it's keeping the ecosystem in balance. So it plays a crucial role in keeping sea urchins at check. So it's preying or eating these sea urchins. So once it disappears, then the sea urchins start growing unchecked. So nobody eats them. And that's why they start overgrazing, especially kelp species. That's lead to 90% of the bull kelp and giant kelp in the counties of Mendocino and Sonoma to be disappeared. So it's an effect. I guess what I'm trying to say is worthwhile to say because it's a species that the ecosystem needs.
Okay, so as a keystone species, if this sea star goes away, then what it eats gets out of control.
Yeah, so it's get out of the control. So I'm talking about these sea urchins, barrens, because of that they are eating all the bull kelp and giant kelp. Other species such as abalone, now they don't have nothing to eat. So it's impact, you know, other species too.
Oh, so those guys, those sea urchins and other guys that get more voracious, and they have a significant appetite, they start eating up all the stuff that other folks need. So these sea stars are keeping those guys in check.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, I guess that's important if you want the ecosystem to survive.
Mm-hmm. In balance, yes.
So before we get into the project that you're actually working on, tell me about your work at the university. What do you do there?
Yeah, well, I'm a fish person. I work in aquaculture. But lately, I have been growing seaweed in Humboldt Bay. So I have a farm where I work with my students, and we grow bulk kelp. And right now we are growing another kelp. It's called Alaria kelp. So that's part of my research.
Okay, and what's the importance of kelp?
Well, the kelp is a species that is used for human consumption, but also is used to extract some alginates or components that are used in several industries, including cosmetics, including ice creams, and other, in our everyday life, we use produce that they have these type of compounds.
My guests are Cal Poly Humboldt scientists, Dr. Rafael Cuevas Uribe, and Dr. David Sin. We're talking about their efforts to save the endangered sunflower sea star. So, David, what's your role in this project, and what do you do over at the university?
Well, my role in this project, it was initially Rafael and I got together, and along with another faculty member at Cal Poly, Sean Craig, we put together a small grant just to see if we could start to understand how to raise echinoderm larvae. Initially, this was our first kind of attempt. Both Rafael and I have had significant aquaculture experiences, but in other marine organisms, never these echinoderms before. And so we were lucky enough to work with a couple of talented undergraduates at the university, Colby Pitt and Cody Carlson, who got us started. We built kind of a all-purpose marine larvae aquarium at the marine station in Trinidad and started to try to rear larvae. We initially started off with some sea urchin larvae, because they're easier to rear than sunflower stars. But we did a little bit with some other species of starfish and
sand
dollars.
Well, wait a minute. You're growing those baby sea urchins. Aren't those the bad guys?
Yeah. Yeah. I hesitate to call them bad guys. They're not necessarily the bad guys.
Right.
Even though... yes, their populations have kind of gotten a little bit out of balance.
Right, they're the population that the sea stars want to control.
That's right. That's right. And I might also mention sea otters as well. It was, you know, historically in modern times, it's been sunflower stars and sea otters that have been the primary predators for the sea urchins. And with both of those organisms missing from our coastline, that's been a real release in terms of the populations of sea urchins exploding.
Okay. And so your project is trying to grow what you call echinoderm larvae. And I'm thinking of as baby sea stars.
That's right. That's right. The challenge is that their larvae are planktonic, which means that they enter the water column. Males and females release gametes, that's the sperm and the eggs, into the water. It's an open water fertilization. And then these tiny babies swim around in ocean currents for a period of days or weeks until they find a suitable place to settle. So rearing larvae in the lab, as opposed to the open ocean, you can imagine presents a lot of challenges. And so that's where Rafael and I started with this project. I actually have experience with squid, but at the moment, my current research is studying salamanders in Northern California who are hopefully going to be somewhat resistant, but we've got a new disease coming for salamanders in North America. And so that's where my current research lies, in the early monitoring for a form of chytrid fungus that infects salamanders.
Hmm. Raphael, can you tell us more about disease and how did it affect sunflower sea stars? And what are you going to do to make sure that it doesn't kill your babies?
Yes. Well, this is called the sea star wasting syndrome. We don't really know what is the causative agent of this disease. There is a combination probably of factors. It could be a virus. It could be warmer temperatures. It could be low flow or a combination of all of those. Let's go back in time. So this sea star wasting syndrome has appeared before this latest episode. So I'm talking about 2013, where it was detected. And just in a couple years, 75 to 100% of the pycnopodias just disappear. You mentioned about at the initial of the program, here in California, is functional extinct. The same happened in Oregon. And again, we don't really know what is a causative agent, so that's why we don't know how to manage this disease.
So that becomes a problem if we don't know what caused the disease, and the disease just wiped out these sunflower sea stars in California and here in Oregon. If you're successful in raising these baby sea stars, how are you going to reintroduce them into a place that wiped them out to begin with?
Yeah, excellent question. So that's part of this community research group. So we are 8 institutions that we are working on rearing pycnopodias or the sunflower sea stars. And the idea is to expose them to different conditions. In that way, we can see if some of those could trigger the disease or not. In our case, we are filtering the water and disinfected. And also we are using frozen diets. So right now I have a group of students that are comparing two different types of diets. So Mysis shrimp and brine shrimp or Artemia. And we chose not to feed them something that is wild collected just because of the same purpose. You know, we don't want them to get exposed to something that could lead to this wasting syndrome.
Gotcha. So what have you both learned through this project? Unfortunately, I've only got about a minute, so let's split it up. What have you both learned so far?
Well, we learned that you can feed them either Artemia or Mysis shrimp, and they grow about 1 centimeter per month. So we have 6 organisms or 6 sunflower sea stars in the lab here in Trinidad, California.
And David?
I've been reminded that doing conservation, Mike, requires careful human management. Well, it's about humans, right? And about what we're willing to do and the steps we're willing to take to save the biodiversity around us. That's really what this is about.
That seems to be a consistent lesson we're all learning.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, that's all the time we have. Thank you both for joining me on The Exchange today.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having us. Appreciate it.
My guests were two Cal Poly Humboldt scientists, Dr. Rafael Cuevas Uribe and Dr. David Sin. They're working to save the endangered sunflower sea star. I'm Mike Green. You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange on JPR.